fighting for America.
And I think I need not remind anyone on this committee, like any American, Sergeant Bergdahl has rights, and his conduct will be judged on the facts, not political hearsay, posturing, charges, or innuendo.
Fighting for Idaho.
Hoping for the sake of the family that you all will go away and leave the family alone, let the process work, and let them get back to their normal lives.
Fighting for you.
Kevin, we cannot go on like this with nothing except speculation up in the media. I mean, he deserves better. We deserve better.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
I appreciate the chance to be with you again, brother. I look forward to being back out in Idaho. Thanks, Semper Fi.
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Oh, good morning. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. You know, I've been waiting for our guest to come back and join us for quite some time. Former State Senator Nicole LaFavor with us at 580 KIDO. And I've been thinking about you a lot lately.
Well?
I think that's a good thing. They're good thoughts. You know, a lot of people sit back and they think to themselves, you know, when they're off work, they think about, you know, vacations or the lawn or something like that. But I've been thinking about you a lot, and I can't wait for my now, come on. Don't be so hesitant there. I can't wait for my first question here to you.
Oh, I see. You've been thinking of questions to ask.
Yes.
I got it.
What else do I have to do?
I don't know.
We all
make the world a better place.
We live for this show, do we not? At least one of us does.
That's good.
Okay.
Someone should. It's true.
So I'm looking at, with the recent developments in the state of Idaho with the federal judge and everything else, I think we can proudly say that we've ended discrimination, and you've won and I've lost. I mean, haven't you all won now with the getting rid of the marriage thing?
Well, I think the courts are for sure going to do that. It's just, I mean, there's just no way the Constitution allows that kind of different treatment for one group of people versus another, and denial of a lot of rights and responsibilities that are really critical to raising families and living in today's society. But we have not added the words in Idaho. They, you know, our laws still say, you know, it's all right if you discriminate against gay and transgender people. They're silent on the issue of whether people can be fired, can be evicted from their apartments, or denied service in a restaurant just because they're gay. And unfortunately, that really has to change.
Well, in reality, though, you would have to say it's been a huge swing towards your direction concerning this court ruling. And can't they? And maybe they're not related technically, but in general, they would be. If you rule that Idaho's wedding amendment is unconstitutional and same-sex couples can marry in the state, that's a huge boost for the Add the Words movement. And who in their right mind would discriminate against someone in the same state where people can, of the same sex, marry legally?
Well, because it's not illegal to do that.
I mean, am I naive?
Unfortunately, yeah. Well, unfortunately, I mean, and actually in this state, there are very few people, I would say, who continue to discriminate and who hold really negative attitudes towards gay people, because most people have gay people in their families or transgender people in their families, and they're very comfortable with the thing. In fact, 80%+ of people in Idaho think it should be illegal to fire people, evict them, and deny them service just because they're gay. And so really, it's not entirely a question of the fact that, yeah, the vast majority of Idahoans think the right thing to do is to end discrimination. That's, I think, really, really clear. I think what is unclear is if the laws don't address the issue, then those very few people who remain who would fire us, who would evict us, who would commit hate crimes and deny us service, they are allowed to do that.
At 580KIDO, if that's the case, if we are to believe what you said, that 80% of people here in Idaho are in fact in favor of Add the Words.
And this was a Republican pollster. This was not anybody else. It was a trusted pollster.
And you're a former politician. Are you a recovering politician, or do you still consider yourself a politician?
I never considered myself a politician.
Well, you ran for office. What would that be? You ran for Congress.
I was trying to serve the state.
All right. Well, as a former state servant and a current state servant, how about that at 580KIDO? What about the idea that if the politicians truly believe that 80% of the people were in favor of adding the words, wouldn't they past that because it's based on political expediency, not whether they believe it or not, but because it's going to garner them votes and support.
Well, that's the question that I asked them. But unfortunately, because folks in the state house have a tendency not to trust data of any kind on any issue, much less this issue, they tend to still believe that all their constituents are anti-gay. And I think this year probably changed a lot of that because they saw people saying, yeah, people are getting arrested in the state house to try and get you to actually even just listen to their stories and hold a hearing. Gosh, a hearing on the bill to finally say that it's illegal to fire, you know, evict and deny service to gay and transgender people. But, you know, at this point, you know, it's oh, now I forgot where it was going.
It's okay. It happens to me a lot at 580 KIDO.
It's too early.
But you did break the law in proving your point, right? I mean, your folks were arrested.
Well, we came to be heard, and instead of hearing us, yes, they chose to arrest us.
Well, but you were disturbing the peace.
We were simply standing silently with our hands over our mouths in doorways.
Right, but you were blocking the doorways. That's against the law.
It is.
So you're a lawbreaker.
Apparently.
Oh, come on. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Now, I've got another question for you, and we'll have people
what
call in.
What was the question that you were just asking
me? I think the question I was asking you is, you've won, na-na-na-boo-boo, you've won.
No, not until the folks who serve in that Capitol building decide to actually address the issue of what happens with those few people who continue to discriminate.
Right, but can you disagree with the gay lifestyle and not be anti-gay?
Gay lifestyle. What is that?
Well, the same-sex marriage.
I'm not married, and I'm ostensibly gay or bisexual or whatever.
But can I sit there and say to myself, look, I disagree with that. Does that make me anti-gay?
You disagree with what?
I disagree with same-sex couples marrying.
Oh, okay.
Does that make me anti-gay?
Yes.
It makes me anti-gay to express my opinions in America.
You are who you are. I would call you anti-gay for holding that belief because obviously you don't believe that I am worthy or equal. And as, you know, an LGBT person, I would expect to have a person believe that I should have the same rights and responsibilities as other people.
Right. But you said that was guaranteed in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm. And the courts will say, all right, those churches who want to marry gay people finally can. And it will actually hold the weight of law and not just be, you know, a ceremony that happens and comes with nothing, which has been for thousands and thousands of couples for a very long time.
Well, what if the churches disagree with that? Are they anti-gay?
Well, the churches get to do whatever they want, and they can be as anti-gay as they want, and they don't have to marry anyone, no matter what the law says. You know, that's the beauty of the Constitution, is it says that a church can't be forced to seal or marry anyone it doesn't want to. So
580-5436, 580-KIDO. I've got some more questions for you. You don't have to. I'm sure you do. Well, you know, it's been a while. I've missed you. It gets lonely in this room.
Really?
Can you imagine spending your days every morning by yourself, literally, maybe figuratively, in a room?
Yeah. Yeah, I do notice the large help sign. Do you point that outward?
Well, that's a prop. See, you've noticed something, and those watching on the video cameras at home understand that. We start with our friend Pro-Life at 580-KIDO. Good morning, Pro-Life.
Yes. I think discrimination is good because I discriminate against adulterers, fornicators, pornographers, and thieves.
Well, now, what's your question?
Well, my question is, you know, is there any limit? And I want Nicole to answer this. Is there any limit to to what we can do sexually and have it legal? You know, should bestiality be legal?
All right, we don't have to go into detail. We got your point.
All right.
I don't know how that got connected with this issue. We're just talking about humans here. We're just talking about people.
Well, anyway, I've always been for having the legislature take up add the words. I have been after them, and the Republicans are so wimpy, they will not listen to Nicole and her friends. They should have that in the legislature.
Why? Thank you so much. And I appreciate the strawberries you've given me over the years from your wonderful strawberry production facility.
Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm sitting there saying not for him to talk about bestiality. Now he's your best friend, and I'm anti-gay.
No, I'm not her best friend.
No.
I think she's wrong in being sexually liberal. I think God's law and natural law should rule.
Oh, here comes the sperm and the egg.
Yeah, the sperm and the egg. That's right.
When sperm meets the egg, yes.
But anyway, men and women fit together. Girls don't fit together, and boys don't fit together. So it's just wrong, and people should be able to discriminate in that way. But, you know, we have never, our legislature is so wimpy that they won't take it up. And
I know. Yeah, they are. And not even listen to people's stories, because I think people would learn a lot if we actually had a public hearing. That's the point of a public hearing, is if you have questions and you don't understand or like the bill, you learn more about it and see how it's affecting people's lives not to have this in place.
All right, Pro-Life, thank you for the call.
Thank you. Take care.
You know why they don't want to have a hearing, though? It would be a show. It would be drama. It would be all these sorts of things.
Well, yeah, and the few anti-gay people who would be very upset with them if they passed the bill would be upset with them when they went home. And now I think they're realizing that the number of people who are upset for not doing it is probably large enough that they're going to have to take care of it. So
we go to Steve in Nampa at 580KIDO with former state senator Nicole Lefevre and Kevin Miller. Hello, Steve.
Good morning, Kevin. Good morning, Nicole. Thanks for taking my call. Hi, Nicole. I think it's wonderful that you're able to get out and raise your opinion and speak your mind and exercise the First Amendment. I have to say, though, that I vehemently disagree with you regarding your statement that 80% of the people of Idaho are in favor of adding the words. I would say it's probably more like 20% at the most. I would like to know exactly which poll this is from, and if you have a website that you could direct us to go look at it, and I will do the research and find out where this data that you claim comes from. I'd like to know a little bit about that.
Well, those are the numbers that the ACLU has been using. And I will say that I have seen early parts of the poll, and it was very strong. And I think, actually, it's probably more accurate to say that fewer than 20 oppose the idea of adding the words. I believe that those who really don't care if we add the words or not are put in with the 80%. So,
ACLU tends to be a left-leaning organization.
They used a Republican pollster, I promise you.
He's probably a liberal Republican pollster.
Well, what's the name of that pollster?
Name me some Boise ones, and I'll tell you. I can't remember off the
top of my
head.
Oh, my gosh.
You can't remember, and yet you're going to go on the air with that data.
It's not
that data
my
point.
Poll. I'm using someone else's
citing
poll.
It. You're the one who's citing it.
He does have a point there.
Well, go ahead and ask the ACLU for the numbers. I know they have them.
You ask them, and you could come back on the air with the proof that, you know, I mean, you're the one who bears the burden of proof, really. I mean, you're the one who's trying to change
well,
our
okay.
paradigm.
Prior to that, we had asked in a BSU public policy survey, and that was a good 4 years, I believe, earlier. And the numbers were a majority in both political parties, including the Republican Party. And that was even 4 years earlier. And that is online, if you want to look at that information.
Well, you know, I was a little surprised, but actually I shouldn't have been, that you called Kevin anti-gay because he believes that marriage should be between a man and a woman. That sort of ad hominem attack is right out of a liberal playbook, and it's not. Yeah, go ahead and chuckle. That's another little chip jab right out of the liberal playbook.
Liberal playbook. What is that?
The liberal playbook. Yes.
I've not seen one. I think you should send one to me.
The people that have no understanding of history, how our government works,
really,
how it's supposed to work. Exactly. For instance, the people of Idaho overwhelmingly voted to keep the definition of marriage between a man and a woman, and yet an activist judge overturned it. And now we're
voted not overwhelmingly. It was not like it was far from the strongest vote in the nation. Far, far.
And what, 63%? That's pretty good.
That's
overwhelming. 63% is far more than like a 51-49 split.
However,
so the point is that, you know, you guys, and I, you know what? To be honest, I really don't care if someone's gay. But I don't see the need to have a gay agenda forced down the throats of people who
wait,
aren't.
Wait. Gay
nobody
agenda.
Nobody ever comes up to me and asks me, "Hey, Steve, are you heterosexual?"
I'm just being asked to be left alone, to be allowed to live in peace.
Well,
to
no,
be allowed
you've called me anti-gay for expressing my views.
Well, you asked me. I wouldn't call you that. I don't go around calling people things. You asked
just
me.
Said it.
Well, I'm trying to figure out what I am. That's all.
Up to you.
I'm
not going to tell someone.
Our system of government was designed to protect the rights of the people. We are.
And I'm not a person.
I didn't say you were. See, there you go again. There's your lovely little ad hominem attack right out of, because you don't have any facts. You don't have anything.
Really?
When someone presents something that flies in the face of the liberal belief system, of the gay agenda belief system.
Gay agenda belief system? Tell me what this is. Just describe it, and I'm delighted to hear. What is the gay agenda?
What it is to try to change our society to accept the definition of words, terms, concepts, things that are the pillars upon which our society was built upon. That is where I'm going at. And
I just don't want to be fired for being gay. That's
gay.
All.
I don't want to be fired for being anti-gay. Steve, thank you for the call. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Much more coming up next. Let's get you to, the microphone can pick that up, by the way. The microphone can pick that
sorry.
Up.
Oh, sorry.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Stay up all night.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Former state senator Nicola Favor in studio with us as we continue on. And you had a few questions for the audience.
I did?
You said, what's the gay agenda?
Oh, yeah.
You want to know what the gay agenda is?
I would.
Well, but you would know the gay agenda.
How would I know the gay agenda?
Because you're gay. Well, so you know the agenda.
So every gay person gets together and decides what their agenda is? No.
It's like the vast right-wing conspiracy.
Uh-huh.
It's your version of it.
I don't usually go off on those sorts of things. No, I respect people as people, and other people should. I think that's the gay agenda.
We go to Amy in CUNA at 580KIDO. Good morning, Amy. Hello, Amy.
Hello?
Hello, Amy. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Hi. I just have a quick question. With all the laws that you're trying to create and make it...
Hello, Amy.
With all the people that are trying... I'm sorry. I lost the phone there. With all the laws that you want to create and have gay marriage and people are not discriminated against, I don't believe they're actually discriminated against, but... Being married should happen in a church or by a clergyman or someone who's in that sort of a position. There shouldn't be any reason for any couple to have a certificate from the government to be married. So what does it matter?
I guess that depends on your perspective, because when you are married, there are a lot of things that occur in terms of taxes, in terms of all kinds of things, and people who are married are treated differently in the law than people who aren't. They're when they die, when we're dealing with joint property, there are all kinds of legal issues that are involved.
It's supposed to be written down in a will beforehand if the people took the time to get paid.
Well, it's a benefit to married couples to have these things, because if someone does pass away, it makes it a lot easier for the family to take care of the matters. So,
so I'm married, and even though my husband owns a business, no matter what, the law would state that it wouldn't be mine because he only owns 50%. So that could be taken away from me whether I'm married or not. So the law really doesn't help, regardless.
It does help a lot of people.
I think that we're going down the wrong road there. I'm sorry.
Well, I guess you have a little different
government should stay
definition
out of our lives.
Marriage.
The government should have nothing to do with marriage. If a gay couple wants to get married, they can have a ceremony of their own. Who's to stop them?
Well, that is true. Lots of people have done that, but unfortunately, we really don't get any of the
All right. Thank you,
benefits,
Amy.
So.
We go to Patriot Ray at 580KIDO. Good morning, Patriot Ray.
Good morning, and Ms. Lefevre.
Good morning.
My question is, if you want to be left alone and you don't want to be discriminated against, then you change the rules and the laws of the country that say that if you're cohabitating or if you're just friends, that you can have the same tax benefits or whatever. Quit trying to change the rules of marriage between a man and a woman. And also, if you want to be left alone, then why don't you guys leave businesses alone who refuse to do your bake a cake, like a company in Colorado and Oregon, have been sued by the gay individuals because they wouldn't bake them a cake. Now, they'll sell them pastries. They just don't agree in the lifestyle. They don't want to bake that cake. And so they get sued, and business is taken away because you say discrimination. So boycott that business. That's a horrible situation, Ms. Lefevre. So I would never support you because of those facts that have come out many times.
You know, as far as marriage goes, marriage actually, states pass laws to ban gay people from getting married because most people looked at their laws and they were like, yeah, just people can get married. And so, honestly, we're not asking for more laws. We're just asking for the law to recognize us as well. And so,
no, you're asking for special treatment because you want to live a deviant lifestyle, as far as I'm concerned. I'm
my lifestyle's pretty boring.
That's the way I see it. And I'm supposed to be entitled to my view, but if I do, then I'm a homophobe. But well, I have been married for 48 years to the same woman, not a man, and my wife's not married to a woman. We are individuals that fit like a puzzle, not fit like you have to force a round peg into a square hole. So, Ms. Lefevre, you're going about this wrong. If you just want to be left alone and your lifestyle accepted, then just change the rules that allow you to have the benefit of sharing property or burying your individual in a certain plot or whatever. But don't try to change the rule of marriage.
Nobody's trying to change marriage. We're just trying
to
keep it simple.
You're trying to make it between a woman or a man and a man. You are changing it.
There's nothing to say it wasn't originally like that.
And you're forcing it down our throats. You're not trying to be beneficial to your group. And when they sue companies who don't agree...
You know, everyone lives with gay people around them all the time. And, you know, most people don't even know we're there. Gay and transgender people are everywhere. And they're in lots of people's families.
They don't know you're there.
What's that?
Then leave alone if they don't know you're there.
Yeah, well, if you're not safe, you do live a quiet life.
Go ahead and change the rules to allow you to share property or to bury your client or your partner or whatever you want to call them and do those things. But don't change the definition of a man and a woman being married.
Actually, our state had to write in a new definition of it being a man and a woman. It wasn't originally that way. And so, really,
you know,
honestly, we're asking for that recent law to be taken off.
Else that you keep trying to push around is not, we don't agree with you. This is a Judeo-Christian country, and it's been that way. And
oh,
then you're trying
I think
to
we have a very important separation of church and state.
You know, that church and state separation was to keep the church or the state from forcing you to have a certain church. That's it. That's the only reason it's put in there.
Which it
but don't try
be.
To change the rules, things. Come on, get with it, okay? I'm done. Thank you.
Senator, thank you.
Well, thank you, and I hope that folks actually take the time to learn a little bit more, talk to the gay people that you know and the transgender people that you know. You know, I think this state is an amazing place, and it can respect people.
You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
On Hannity, weekday afternoons at 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, Dave Burnett with us as we start the Manly Man segment. Dave, how was your Father's Day?
It was good. It was a nice, quiet Father's Day, which is always good.
Always good. Anything memorable that you'd like to share with us?
About Father's Day?
About your Father's Day.
No. Not really. I mean, it was a nice day. My wife and daughter got together, fixed me a nice Father's Day lunch, dinner, and got me some nice gifts. So it was good.
Well, that's good. That's good. So we did have Father's Day yesterday. A big, busy weekend, if you will. First of all, your thoughts on who's the greatest NFL football coach of all time?
There's several that rank right up there. Noel was one of those who passed away. Tom Landry was another great that was in there with Dallas. I mean, there's several, but yeah, Chuck Noll, who passed away, probably one of the better, one of the more underspoken as far as never really, you know, never getting the Jimmy Johnson sort of a glory. but was always just rock solid in coaching.
Yeah, Chuck Knoll, legendary coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. I would have to say he's the greatest ever. And you take a look at 4 Super Bowls in 6 years, could have won a couple more. If Dan Marino had been drafted by the Steelers, I guess you could say that for everybody. You take a look at the players that he had, and having spent time as a little kid loving the Pittsburgh Steelers, or my time in Pittsburgh, Chuck Knoll just never got any credit. Terry Bradshaw really never got any credit. The only quarterback to win, well, besides, I guess, Joe Montana, 4 Super Bowls, and Jim Kelly went to 4 Super Bowls. But you take a look at Chuck Knoll, and the guy just won. And I remember interviewing one of the Rooney brothers. No, not that Rooney, the other one that owned the team.
Mickey.
And I was talking to him, and I said, well, what was the secret of Knoll's success? And he said that he developed those players, but he didn't allow them to overthink. He allowed them to evolve naturally. And whether it's Greg Popovich or Chuck Knoll, we live in such an ADD instant gratification world today that we just sit back and we think to ourselves, you have to win here and now, and if you don't win, you're gone. I mean, Greg Popovich had a rough couple seasons at San Antonio. Now they won the title again. Chuck Knoll took over a team that was the laughingstock of the NFL, and I would argue that it truly is America's team. Heck, you have Steeler supporters here, across the country, and wherever you go, you see the Steelers, as they say. And Knoll really was just that quiet giant that never really got the credit that a Bill Walsh did, or Bill Belichick, or any of those folks, or Mike Holmgren. I mean, think about this. There's been coaches that have been to more Super Bowls, I guess you'd say Bill Belichick, but none have won 4 like Chuck Knoll did.
Yeah, as you look at what he did, and I remember, I was just a kid at the time, but I remember when Pittsburgh was the laughingstock. If they won 1 or 2 games a season, it was a big deal. After they were dominant years before that, and then they were so bad. And then Chuck Knoll went, and I think helped spearhead recruiting a young man out of North Texas. Nobody had heard of this Joe Green guy. And I think it was a year after that he went and got Terry Bradshaw, of all people. And then built a team around, those kind of players, those kind of guys.
Well, but Terry Bradshaw, they flipped a coin, and they won that over Chicago. That's how they got Terry Bradshaw out of Louisiana Tech. However, back to your point about Joe Green, the Steelers were the first to go to these small black colleges, and whether it was Joe Green or L.C. Greenwood or others, and recruit these players and bring them to Pittsburgh. And now everybody does it, but the Steelers were the first team to essentially cross those racial barriers and go down to these small colleges, these small all-black colleges in the South, and make stars of these guys.
Yeah, they went looking for those nuggets, and obviously Knoll had a way of putting a staff together that would get guys who could go find those, those college players that had the potential but didn't make it in the big, back in those days, the Razorbacks and, the Oklahomas of the world. And Chuck Knoll was the guy who did that.
So we will remember Chuck Knoll. I'm very happy the Miami Heat lost last night.
I'm sure you are. It didn't matter to me, really.
Right, but since it didn't matter to you, I'll talk about it.
Okay.
So much for the greatest player ever. So much for the greatest team ever. So much for a team of floppers. They finally got their just due, and it wasn't even close. In fact, let's face it, San Antonio was so much better, they should have swept them. And now the talk will all circle around LeBron, and he continues to get a pass. Look, he's a class guy. He's a great guy. He's a role model. But, there's a difference between Michael Jeffrey Jordan and LeBron James. Michael Jeffrey Jordan never would have given up. He would have fought to the end. And LeBron James, unfortunately, was straddled with carrying that team, and Dwayne Wade's a fraction of what he was. Chris Bosh has disappeared. So now you have this guy that, again, he scored, 15 or 20 in the first quarter, and after that he was pretty much done.
Yeah, he's not very good, I guess.
Not when it counts, and like I said, it is a marvel to me that everybody continues to talk about LeBron in the same breath as Michael Jeffrey Jordan. There is only one, and you take a look at San Antonio, Greg Popovich, they blew the lead last year in Game 6. They come back. Manu Ginobili had a great game. Kawhi Leonard. And you think to yourself, wow, how crazy the NBA turns that all of a sudden they're talking about the Heat being old and tired, and how weak really the Eastern Conference is when, in fact, you have the Heat beating everybody in the East and the Spurs getting through the tougher Western Conference. And I wonder how the Heat would have done, probably against the Clippers. They probably would have beat Oklahoma City. But I think the Clippers could have given them a game, too, in a seven-game series.
Yeah, the Clippers have so much inner turmoil going on even still. I'm not quite sure how focused they would be, but I know that Michael Jordan wouldn't be who he is if he played today versus playing back when he did in the 80s.
Well, we're going back to that again.
Yeah, I just don't think he would. I've thought more about it. I don't think he would. His image would have been just absolutely blown apart.
He would have been even more dominant today.
I'm just saying his image would have been blown apart when the pictures of him gambling till 4 in the morning on playoff games, cheating around on his wife. But by the time those photos hit the Twitter sphere, his image would have been blown.
Yeah, I don't think anybody would have caught him cheating on his wife.
Really?
No, I don't, because the media protects who they like. And and I don't think that Jordan would have been, he would have been discreet as always. But I think today he would have had 70 points just based on the rules. Remember, they used to be able to knock him down and hand check and all those things. And it's funny, Horace Grant said that on a Chicago radio station that I picked up on the other day. And they said, oh, the Bulls couldn't hang with him. He goes, are you kidding me? Michael, with the rules today, they couldn't stop him. Couldn't stop him back then.
Maybe, but you know, it's one of those things. If Babe Ruth played baseball today, how would he do? We'll never know. That's the sad thing. We'll never know.
Yeah, but so now we go dark in the sports world until college football. There really isn't much going on. You've got the baseball All-Star game. You've got, I guess, a variety of who cares golf tournaments, the U.S. Open at Pinehurst this weekend. Trying to think of anything else that's going on. NASCAR, Jimmy Johnson wins again. I'm trying to think as far as the sports. Well, nothing really goes on now until college football.
Well, we can focus on the Middle East the way our government does.
Yeah, well, it would be nice. By the way, speaking of which, at 580KIDO, I think I've got another budding career ahead of me.
No, boy.
And I think TV critic. And I was, you know, I'm obsessed with the Sunday shows. And some of them, they're cures for insomnia, I have to say. So I was watching how everybody was going to handle the big crisis in the Middle East, and it is a crisis.
Oh, yeah.
Especially in Iraq, where we have U.S. contractors in one of the largest Air Force bases in the world, the Balad Air Force Base. They used to call it Mortaritaville because all the mortars going in are surrounded. American contractors in there surrounded by the insurgents, or the home team, if you want to call them that. So I wondered how the shows would handle it. NBC... I can understand why Meet the Press is horrible now compared to ABC. ABC went live to Martha Raddatz in country. She co-hosted the show with Jonathan Carl. Stephanopoulos took the week off, and they had expert after expert after expert. Then they had the exclusive interview with Eric Cantor. Then they went back to their roundtable, which was okay. And they really owned the stories of the week. The Today Show, Meet the Press, had David Brinkley trying to blame Mitt Romney for the crisis in Iraq.
I have to admit, I didn't watch any of the shows. I was working out the club at that time. How'd they blame him?
So Gregory goes, yes, but you admit in 2008 you said that it's time to get out of Iraq and da-da-da-da-da. And you can't really blame the president for this. He's had 6 years. And he kept making excuses, and it was like that swarmy. And then Gregory, it's funny, I don't even know if he knows this, but you could tell him getting fired up with the gotcha questions from Romney. And he goes, you're not running for president. Romney's not running. He goes, well, you know, 2008, you said this. And he goes, David, if you recall, during the 2012 campaign, I said this, and I agreed with the Bush doctrine, and I agreed that we need to have stabilizing forces there, and I agreed that we should have pushed Maliki. And Gregory, he's like that little kid in school that wants to get focused and get rolling and and wants a pat on the head. And so I go, that's it right there. And then they have the old liberal columnists about, you know, how Obama's not to blame. I'm trying to think of the roundtable for Meet the Press. Then afterwards, I watched Fox News, which was boring, boring, boring dribble. Chris Wallace, and I mean, you hired George Will away from ABC. Let George Will talk. I mean, Britt Hume has been on there now more than ever because he's afraid Will is going to take his spot. And Will just seems kind of lost on the panel with no names. And if I had to rank him, I would go ABC 1, CBS 2. Bob Schieffer had a great interview with Lindsey Graham going on and on about immigration and Eric Cantor and all that. And then he had his experts on, Laura Logan. And then he went to his panel, which consisted of reporters as opposed to pundits. And the reporters were very interesting, their take on Cantor in Iraq. And they provided a lot of energy, which I haven't seen. And then I'm trying to think of the fourth show. I guess that would be NBC was well, Fox News. You know, not really a lot there. They had the guy on from Oregon, Oregon 2, talking about recruiting stars and, you know, who's going to replace Cantor. And, well, did the Tea Party really do something wrong because they got rid of a guy that was they liked? And whether or not Kevin McCarthy, the House Whip, is in fact going to roll over Raul Labrador. And that was about it. I think they mentioned Labrador's name once. So,
did they talk enough about the situation in Iraq that our White House knows about it now? Because it seems like they always find out in the news when everyone else finds out.
I would say that ABC did the best job of owning that story. CBS was number two. They went to two live correspondents. NBC was so forgettable, I don't even know if they went to Iraq. I'm sure they went to Richard Engel, but you know, it just didn't seem like NBC was up to snuff with Meet the Press. Oh, and then we had Luke Russert talking about his dad, Tim Russert. And Tim Russert was great, but, I mean, do we really need nepotism? And, oh, here, by the way, here's Tim's new book that I rewrote the intro to.
They did that last year on Father's Day.
Yeah, Luke Russert was back. I'm going, Luke, your dad worked for his stuff. What about you, son? What about you?
Yeah, just the whole Iraq thing is just concerning to me because you would think this was something new that's going on there, but they've been talking for a year about the buildup of ISIS, and you know that's been going on for a year, but yet, you know, we haven't really heard anything in the mainstream media about it. And now suddenly, you know, they're overrunning cities, executing Iraqi soldiers by the hundreds, just lining them up and executing them, and it just seems like now suddenly, what's going on there? I just stand a little astounded.
And nobody wants to go in and help them. And I go back to these contractors that are being surrounded there in Balad. And you have to wonder, I mean, look at all the great stuff that we gave the Iraqis and it's gone.
Oh, yeah, it's gone. Probably in Syria as we speak.
Billions of dollars.
Military hardware.
And money.
And money, yeah. It just I just look at that and I shake my head and wonder what is going on here. Another chapter of that today, though. As you know, as we get into our daytime here, we'll find out more about what happened there.
And I didn't even get to talk to you about the man purse I saw last night.
The man purse?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we're out of time, though. Traffic now as you're coming out of
Dave Ramsey, weekdays noon till 3 on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up next, we'll talk about man purses. First, let's get you to traffic with Dave Burnett. And Kevin Miller with you here this morning. Coming up next, Fox News on the radio. Then we talk to a best-selling author. We'll get his thoughts on, well, the Ukraine, Russia, and really what's going on. It's called Sniper's Honor, the Ukraine Events Explained, by our friend, New York Times best-selling author Stephen Hunter's new book. Stephen will join us if you're familiar with his work. It is just another one of the Bob Lee Swaggart editions, so we're looking forward to him. And we'll get his thoughts on, well, just, you know, the world events as it is, because sometimes these fiction writers really can tell us a little bit more about the unrest in the Ukraine. By the way, in addition to that, you're thinking to yourself, well, do we have any good news? Well, don't wear man purses if you're a man, number one. Number two, the good news is, well, the Iraqis haven't taken Baghdad yet, and the Shiites are mad at the Sunnis. We'll have the latest there. But yesterday I was on my way. I was out and about doing something. I saw a guy walking around. I go, well, what was that, a laptop case? And you remember the old Seinfeld bit, a man purse. The guy was actually carrying a man purse. And I'm thinking, have we evolved or de-evolved that much as men that it's hip to be carrying purses? Much more on that. Kevin Miller.